T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God. Cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. The 22nd of February, 2019. It is 2:22. And how are you, Mr. Cleland?
It's not 2:22 in the morning. What the heck are you talking about?
No, it is February 22nd.
Oh.
2:22. 2/22.
Twos across the dues.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
2:22. That's a great count in baseball. Did you know that?
2:22 count.
2:22 count, two outs, two on, down by two.
Mm.
And we're just 3 years away from 2:22, 2:22, 2:22.
Mind blown, Buck.
Are you one of those people that needed to get married on 9/9/99?
No, we're going for 5/24/19, so not at all.
Not at all.
That's 5/24/19. That's way out there. That's, man. Okay. Well, to each his own. How about this, though?
What's better, 7/7/07? I know there's some married people on 7/7/07.
I have a buddy that got married on 11/11/11.
I'm a 7, am I?
What?
I'm a 7. July 7th? July.
You're...
My anniversary. I had to think about it for a second. Oh. I'm a July 7th.
And the same day that I got engaged, we've established this.
Okay.
7/7's our day.
That's right, 77.
Okay.
Lucky sevens.
Hey, good for you. Good remembering that.
I should remember that.
Yeah. You're at the point where...
No, no, you should. There's no excuse for that.
You're 7/7/01? Is that right? Right? Because you're the only reason I know that is
Mariners All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, yes. Cal Ripken Jr.
Yes.
Can we just say he went to your wedding?
No, Cal Ripken... What? No, he wasn't there. Well, a bunch of other baseball players. He hit a home run. He did.
He hit a home run. That's I remember that at Safeco Field. What a day.
Wait, get it right. It's T-Mobile Stadium. Mm. Is it stadium or field?
Field.
Did they say field?
I think it's park. I think it's T-Mobile park.
T-Mobile park.
I guess it's going to take me a while to get used to that.
Nah, it'll be Safeco.
A lot of pink.
What? How long did it take people to start going Moda Center?
Hey, look, I still call...
Rose Garden still.
I still call the place that is demolished in San Francisco, Candlestick Park. It was never going to be Monster, because I played in there all the time, and I wasn't going to even allow it. And I'm not even from there. I was like, how dare you take Candlestick away?
You know, the .com thing, that
they ruined
was...
it all.
They named everything.
Monster, what were some of the other ones they grabbed?
Well, before it was Monster, it went from Candlestick to 3Com.
3Com. No, yeah, it was 3Com. That's right.
Yep. 3Com is a lot like...
Is that Stick'Em? What is that?
What is the...
I don't know what 3Com is.
Okay, I still don't know this.
Well, and the thing with the Monster Park was that everyone assumed it was the headhunter, monster.com. It was like a...
It was Monster Cables.
Yeah, it was people that made cables, but most people didn't know that.
Wait, what?
Monster Cables are great.
No.
Oh. What are Monster Cables?
Monster Cables are probably, if not, the top of the line, what you use for stereo equipment or connecting your...
Oh.
RCA, but not a lot of people use RCA connections anymore. But
that's relatable for football fans.
Yeah, it's very relatable. Stereos, Monster Cables.
But the .com thing, they took over everything. Like halfway Oregon, small little town in eastern Oregon.
Yeah.
Half.com paid that city to change the name to Half.com Oregon for a year. Like they just were like, we have all this money.
I wonder if you could do that.
Change the name.
Wouldn't that be, that's a good idea, the naming rights to towns.
Well, that's like a...
Town naming rights.
The town in Montana changed its name to Joe as a publicity stunt.
I like that.
If
you pay enough money, you can get what you want. Certainly, the Rose Garden's got a beautiful sound to it. Moda Center, it's
Yeah.
It's Moda. Your healthcare. Very important.
I do like the idea of attaching a sponsor to the city name, like Portland, Oregon, presented by, and, you know, just...
Well, presented by outrageousness.
Protesting.
What's a Portland,
powered by Kale.
If you're going to go with Portland, if you're going to have a Portland brand behind it, which is its own brand,
yeah,
come on. It's
Nike.
I mean, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that, that's...
Yes, just name Beaverton Swoosh, Oregon.
Just Portland Swoosh. Swoosh.
I like that. I'm moving down to Beaverton. I'd rather be moving to Swoosh, Oregon.
How great is that? Beaverton, if you ever get in financial trouble, just stop giving Nike all the tax breaks and just say, we'll rename the city Swoosh. Give us a little something on the side, you know?
Yeah.
Swoosh, Oregon's a great name.
I was over in Beaverton 2 weekends ago. There's never not a crane there. There's never not.
No, at Nike?
Never not a crane.
They had...
Never not under construction.
They had like 5 of them at one point. Yeah. I drive by it every single morning on my
I'm
way
sure
in.
You
and
do.
It is... The trucks are all getting in there and stop getting ready to
work. Stoplight was all jacked up. Took me forever. Had to play at... what was the name of the... Valley Catholic School.
Oh,
little CYO game.
Right over there off TV High. Great facilities over there.
Nice.
They got good facilities. Yeah. Okay. One other thing that this kind of spiraled me on is... So, Monster, you got me thinking about... A lot of companies, you don't even know what they do. What does IMG do? Like, you know, the IMG Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, IMG...
Representation.
You see it on golf. Like, yeah. The golf guy, like a park bench will have... The bus bench will have IMG on it. And you're like, why?
I don't know off the top of my head. I always remember IMG as being representation for sports agents. And it started off as
so
IMG.
They started high school?
I don't know. Well, it's a... You know what IMG Academy is.
I know what IMG Academy is.
Yeah, because it's what they do in Europe. It's honestly kind of like, you know what's unique to that is here in the States is what we do it as. Not a lot of people know, but some do, is that youth hockey players leave their house at 13.
Mm-hmm.
And they go play this junior hockey.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of what they do in Europe. The top players, they also do it in China. I mean, my wife was over there and she took the kids live in dormitories. You drop your kid off at 4 and 5 years old. And if you're athletic, you drop them off and they become 24/7 baseball players.
Yeah.
Or basketball players. And here, we don't do that here. We have high schools and we have the IMG Academy, which I think is one of the only ones in our country that is we develop athletes.
Yeah.
Finley
Prep does that too. Finley Prep is very much like Oak Hill Academy. People say, oh, basketball. That's an actual school and it's a military preparatory academy.
Yeah.
Finley Prep, IMG Academy, those are two of them. But like we work with IMG mm-hmm. because IMG carries the University of Oregon's athletics, right? On the radio network. So I know that they have a radio network, but they also is that IMG connected to the school? It's just like this big management. What do you do? Management and events.
Yeah, because if you connect to those school and those young athletes, what will you do when they need representation?
Become
the professionals. You become their agents.
That kind of seems...
That's what a lot of them do. There's a lot of them up here in the Northwest. You have what's called groups, and then whoever runs that group, if you're into youth baseball, hypothetically, there's a group here that runs it here. And they have that, and their leader is an agent.
Really?
In baseball, yeah, and their leader is an agent.
And he just has like a traveling baseball team?
Correct, and it's a whole conglomerate in the area. You pay a large amount of money to play baseball, but then if you are good enough, then you get referred to, and that's a business, these are business plans now with these young athletes. They're performance centers here where you train young athletes on a daily basis, and then if you do get that representation, agents will give you a kickback. Do you know how many young guys are training to go to the combine right now?
Well, that's the whole basis.
Who pays for those fees? That's the thing is these agents are paying these places for them.
Yeah.
I didn't have an agent until I officially got after the combine.
Now you have to pay that money back if they pay for your training, right? Don't they take that out?
No. You can negotiate with your own agent. Now it depends on what you do. If you have your 3%, sometimes your agent will front you. And most of the time they will pay for this stuff up front during your training. So they will send every year in New Orleans when we trained with Tom Shaw, who was a creator of Nike Spark. Oh. He's now in Florida. He was also on Dallas's staff and then was also on Oakland's staff this last year, strength and conditioning. But you would come down and we'd have probably 20 to 30 college athletes come down there for the month of January and partially into February to get ready for the combine. And it'd be 6 to 8 weeks of pure combine training. And it would cost $5,000-$7,000 a week.
Oof.
College guys don't got that money. Who's fronting that?
Gosh.
All these agents.
It's good to be Tom Shaw.
Well, I mean, this is just part of the business of what you do.
Yeah.
These guys train and spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get ready for one race.
Mm-hmm.
One jump, and everyone's worried about Kyler Murray. Is he going to throw the ball? What's the most important thing heading into the combine? Is it your 40? Is it your throwing ability? Is it your jumping ability? All these guys are paranoid.
Apparently, it's how you look in your undies.
I think it's your interview.
In your underbreeches.
So do you have the opportunity, or I guess not the opportunity, can you choose to not interview the same way that guys choose to not run or not throw?
It would be a very bad decision to not
interview.
I
agree, but if there's a guy who they think is not prepared, but he runs like the wind, would you want him to go out there and just perform physically and not meet?
Never.
No.
Never.
No,
I think never.
Because that's the ultimate red flag. Is I go, okay, well, what are you hiding, dude? I'm not going to talk to you before I draft you and make you an employee. That's a big one.
Understanding the makeup of the guy and the first few communications and questions. You have blanket questions. I told you my story. What Dicka asked me, who was your favorite tight end, in my first 10 seconds of the interview. And I said, Mark Bavaro. And he told me, he goes, Cam, that's why I drafted you, because you love Mark Bavaro. And I said, really? Hmm. Not because I was, I like that.
No. Your talents, whatever.
And, I think maybe there was a little talent that he liked, but that Mark Bavaro, I mean, that's what it takes.
No, I'd like to think
just ask
nothing.
Johnny Manziel, how do you get drafted by the Browns?
A homeless guy telling Jimmy Haslam to do it?
You send a text? This is all it takes. You just got to have one small like by a guy that has a power and a draft card.
Well, that's what doomed Jerry Jones and Al Davis. Yeah. That's why Stephen Jones is ripping the draft card out of Jerry's hand now, is because that one little thing, and he's like, wait, that's not a good idea, guys.
Darren McFadden, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Some people like New England and other places that are extremely unique in their draft have a criteria of draft board status of why you're going to get picked. Other places are like Dallas, where Jerry Jones comes walking in and goes, we're taking him. Why? Because I said so.
Read the Belichick book, and you talk about that doing your homework. When they do the background on guys that they're potentially going to draft, Belichick instructs his scouts to go to when he goes to the hometown, first person you go and talk to isn't their high school coach. Mm-mm. It's the janitor. And you try to find out everything you can, because how you treat a janitor is how you treat a person, right? And so, that's one of the things that their scouts go and do. That is a little bit overboard. I heard Tom Coughlin does the same kind of deal when he's going after and drafting guys. It's kind of that super old school meticulous approach.
Sure.
But then there's the old school approach of what you said, which is, I like the Bavaro, like this guy. He's my kind of guy.
Everybody's emotional. Everybody gauges in different steps, certainly.
All right. It is Friday, which means our textual relations today in the 6 and 8 o'clock hour is Q&A. And you know what? I think that this is a good kind of jumping off point of some of the questions that surround the combine and the draft. We're coming up and approaching on it. If you have any questions, football related or not, sports related, text us 55305, the Better You Today text line. You could win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. We give away two every single Friday, one in the 6 o'clock hour, one in the 8 o'clock hour. So get your questions in the queue, 55305. Whatever's on your mind, folks, you let her rip on our textual relations today. Also, something that is very familiar to Blazer fans will be on today's show. NBA official Scott Foster. Welcome to the club, James Harden and the Houston Rockets. You hate Scott Foster. Brett McMurphy is already out making bold predictions about the Pac-12 and how doomed they are this upcoming football season. Yeah, we are still, 7 months away from football season, and it's not good. And then Weekend Would You Rather, as always, at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock! But where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
This may be one of the greatest days in American sports history. Do you believe in miracles, Mr. Cleland?
Do you like hockey?
I do. Because on this date in 1980, Al Michaels said, "Do you believe in miracles?" when the United States beat the Soviet Union in the Lake Placid Olympics 4-3. Great upset.
Mm-hmm.
Great upset. A little myth in that, though, is that that was the gold medal game. Team USA won one more. They beat Finland in the next match, and they end up winning the gold.
Also on tape delay.
Right. Yeah, people were running through the streets.
Mm-hmm. Like hours after it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. But could you imagine that now?
I still remember seeing. I still remember amazing. Being 5 years old and actually remembering this. You know why it's as unique? It was 1980, right?
Yeah.
You know what else is crazy about this year? I distinctly remember. These are the two things I remember. Mount St. Helens and this sporting event.
Yeah. I mean, the Team USA hockey got Mount St. Helens so excited it blew its top off.
May 18th, 1980? Something like that. It was in May.
It took a while. It's a volcano. Yeah, it was in May.
Have you heard the story of Herb Brooks' speech before the gold medal game? Because they made a lot out of his speech before the semifinal game. That was the speech that they did in that movie Miracle. Mm-hmm. Of course, they beat the Russians, and he only had one thing to say to them before the gold medal game. They said, after what you did last game, you lose this one, they will effing bury you. Don't lose.
All right.
All right. Now, go win, guys. Go win. All right. Where we start, Enes Kanter makes his debut, and the Blazers beat up on the hapless Nets. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Kanter sitting on a gold mine in that paint. Drop step spin. He loses Davis. Lay it up right in softly. What a move.
There he is, Kevin Calabro on the call as the Portland Trail Blazers start their grueling 7-game, 2-week road trip with a 113-99 win in Brooklyn against the Nets. You heard it right there, Enes Kanter. What a debut for that man.
Nets. That was the Blazer B team.
Right. We forgot Shabazz Napier. We were talking yesterday.
Ed Davis.
Alan Crabb.
Shabazz Napier.
Uh-huh.
Who else? Is there somebody else I'm missing?
No, but
just
three,
those three?
Three's a lot.
That is a lot. And recently a lot.
Basically their entire bench is former Portland Trail Blazers when the Blazers
and they
bench
all played
was,
well.
When the Blazers bench
well.
Wasn't that great.
I was happy for Ed Davis and seeing Shabazz, and certainly Alan Crabb can still shoot. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed.
Yeah, as a team, the Nets were dreadful shooting, especially from three. They went 7 of 13, and Alan Crabb made three of those. Well, yeah. Shabazz and Alan Crabb made over half mm-hmm. of their three-point attempts, but Baz was 1 of 8 from beyond the arc, and Crabb 3 of 8.
And your three-point champion, Joe Harris, 0 for 3.
Well, that's right.
That is.
He used them all in the All-Star weekend in Charlotte. But Enes Kanter, nice debut for the Portland Trail Blazers. The hometown team mm-hmm. gets 20 minutes, 8 of 9 shooting, 18 points, and 9 rebounds. He made his first, 6 from the field?
Yeah, he did.
Did Enes Kanter?
Yeah, he made Ed Davis on. He pulled the chair on Ed Davis on that backspin move. And you could see that Enes Kanter is going to bring a huge punch when it comes for size and ability on the block. Yusuf played spectacular. He finished come on, man. That was really, really good what he did. The way he finished around the rim and that facial that he put down on everybody, just right down the hammer. I mean, that was on three dudes. That is the first time since I've been here watching Yusuf Nurkic finish that he played like a beast. Mm-hmm. Like that is when you have a nickname beast, that's how you finish.
And he had a solid game. You mentioned 27 points.
Solid.
12 rebounds. What I thought was great to see and what I really am excited about with Enes Kanter is the fact that Nurk got into foul trouble and Kanter needed to play a lot in that second half. Let's not get this twisted. Like both of those guys had great games, but they should because the Nets don't have a single player over 7 feet tall, right? Ed Davis is their second biggest player at 6'10". Mm-hmm. They're really long in the guards in the forward position. But they do not have bigs, and they should dominate, and guess what? They did. But these types of teams that are long and lanky can get to the rim like Brooklyn. When Nurk used to get into foul trouble, the Blazers had no answer in the post, right? Because Myers isn't polished in the post. Zach Collins isn't polished in the post. You didn't have an answer. Now you do. When Nurk gets into foul trouble, you saw Enes Kanter come in and give you great minutes, technically sound on the block.
Wait, you can also see the difference between, and it's not a knock on Myers Leonard and Zach Collins. It's just the elevation of somebody that's more physical and more physically gifted.
Yeah.
When it comes to physical, it means that there's strength and there's talent and ability. And the control and the body control that he has, of course, a veteran, which is, Enes Kanter's only 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's young. Remember, he is young. He's stronger. And you can see just agile on the block. I don't need him to be an outside guy, but I'll tell you this. having another big that can come off the bench like that, if you're sitting in the situation where Portland is at the four seed and you're wondering how you're going to match up against the other bigs in your conference, you need guys to be able to go up against Jokic. You got to be able to handle Steven Adams. You got to be able to throw guys at Capella and everybody that's in there and Rudy Gobert. I mean, these are things you need. You need bigs in this conference. Of course, you're not going to chase down the Warriors, and I'm not going to worry about that. No. But in this middle tier to middle group, you're going to have bigs that can come out there and put a lot of pressure.
I got a question for you on the Portland Trail Blazers with the addition of Cantor. Now you have, and I guess we can throw Scala Labossiere in there, you have got five guys that are 6'11 or taller. You got five of them.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel more comfortable having the small guards now that you have more size in your front court?
Yeah.
Five guys over 6'11.
Yeah. No, there's more size there. Yeah. There certainly is. It doesn't, again, last night, Mo Harkless started. Mo Harkless started, and he had 13 points.
He played a lot better than Rodney Hood did.
Yeah. That's
and Jake Layman.
It's where we're at with this.
Yeah.
No one's going to get into the Terry Stotts' head and believe he believes Mo Harkless is going to be the guy to finish the rest of the year and start, and that makes the bench better. I'm going to get behind that. Mm-hmm. I don't have any opinions on whether it's the right or the wrong thing to do. You just got to understand this is the coach, this is what he's going with.
Yeah. Let's hold off on putting Enes Kanter's numbers in the rafter at Moda Center.
We've seen bigs come out and have good games.
Yeah. And this was a game where both Nurkic and Kanter should have had a good game. I mean, let's be honest. They don't have a single guy over 7 feet on the Brooklyn Nets. And those two played well enough to win you a game. And Damian Lillard did not shoot the ball very well at all until really the fourth quarter. And you're still able to come out six guys in double figures. Blazers get balance. And on a grueling road trip, they get their first win over what is currently a playoff team in the Brooklyn Nets, despite just being 500. Next up, Blazers head to Philly tomorrow, where they will have the 76ers without Joel Embiid. But that didn't stop them last night as Philly beat Miami 106-102. Blazers get a 113-99 win over Brooklyn. Enes Kanter 18-9 in his debut for the hometown team. We'll see what he does moving forward. Solid opener, though, for Enes Kanter. All right, textual relations, 55305. Time to let her rip. What's on your mind? Q&A, questions, answers, football, basketball, baseball, anything you want, we got. Get them lined up and in the queue at 55305, the Better You Today text line. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That's the Better You Today text line. How you can interact with us on the show. I heard Isaac and Suk were taking credit for killing phone calls on this station. I heard that was the rumor on the streets, and that's probably pretty true. Because what we do is mostly text now. It's easier that way.
You do. I would take phone calls all day long. If I first got in here, I was infuriated.
Well, let's
take
phone calls.
You looked at me sideways.
Yeah.
Everybody looked at me sideways and phone calls? What the heck is that?
People like to thumb it now. If you want to call, 866-358-1080, we'll take those, too.
I would guarantee you nobody has the stones to call in here and really give us their true opinion.
You're trying to call out manhood. That's a good tactic on getting phone
calls. I just don't think they do. I think they're very comfortable behind their text and their keyboards.
Right.
Very safe, very easy. Heaven forbid you put your voice on.
I love it when you get
it's like a challenge.
It is a challenge. Everybody's keyboard tough.
You know what this
and
is?
And actually keyboard friendly. I think a lot of you texters
are excellent.
I'm just
staring at the phone.
Nobody's going
to
do it.
866-358-1080. I used to do this to my wife when I would be intentionally pushing her buttons. And she was like, that really needs to stop. I used to go, boop, beep, boop, pop, boop, beep. Yeah. You know, just like you're just pushing those little buttons.
If you got a good question, I dare you to call in. We'll put you on. I double dog dare you.
866-358-1080. All right, here's a good text on the Better You Today text line. P1 Matt asking, are there players that are, quote, combine proof, meaning they're players their draft stock is unaffected regardless of how poor they do at the combine? Combine proof. So let's take the unpacking that.
Yeah, unpack that.
Performance-wise on the field, there are plenty of guys who are combine proof. Like, when, no matter what you do, you can justify, bad day, whatever.
Joey Bosa had a terrible combine.
Right.
Did that change his draft status or stock? Did that change his ability as a football player? Is he not a top five, top 10 pass rusher in this league currently as we sit? Is his brother going to be a top five, top 10 pick that didn't play college football this year?
Yes, he will be. But going back to what Buck said early in the show, I think that if you go in and you are a malcontent during the interview process, which is part of the combine, then that probably will affect the way that you are in your draft status, right? It doesn't matter if Kyler Murray throws, but if he's this arrogant, smug jerk during the interviews, that's going to run a couple teams off. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it would during the interview process. So on the field, there's totally guys that are combine proof. But during the interview process, would you say it's fair that nobody is combine proof with the interview process?
No, not really. I think understanding how to interview is probably, if I was going to rank and how to train and get ready, my first priority is I would spend a couple hours every day on the process of interviewing. I would do that. I would understand and I would give those guys tips. I used to do that for one of the agents. He would fly me out. And we would work with the young men that were getting ready for the combine. And, you know, you'd have your sprint guy and your vertical leap guy and then your agility guy. But then they would all come in and I'd show them how to break down film. And I'd also teach them how to interview and how to answer those questions. And I would pretend, it's like, look, guys, you're going to get these kind of questions. What are you going to do? What's your immediate answer? Here's what they're looking for. Here's what you have to do. You have to study for it. Those of you that think an interview is not important, I'm sorry. So anybody that walks in and just throws it down and goes, I'm here, give me a job. That's not how it works. You can shine. You can move yourself way up the ladder.
Darius Hayward Bay.
Way up the ladder.
Yeah.
And it's a learned skill, just like anything, confidence and some of those questions. So I think, it is pretty important.
You can lose a lot at the combine. But for some, or you can't lose as much as you can gain. Is that a fair one to assess there as far as your on-field performance? You can gain a lot.
Yeah, no.
If you run that blazing 40.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you
can
run
be John Ross and run a 4.22 and set the combine record.
Yeah. Okay, next question, 55305. Ooh, here's one for you. This is from P1 Jesse. I just like this question. What's your most memorable thing from your time playing baseball, Little League all the way up to college for you, Cam?
Wow.
Your most memorable thing.
Playing baseball or coaching baseball or being around baseball or just in baseball in general?
The question's Little League all the way up to college.
So here's what happened to me in the All-Star game when I was 12 years old. We first played, and I remember this distinctly, okay? I was pitching, and I didn't know this, and I got up, and there was a really, really good baseball player and had long hair. I didn't know she was female. So nobody told me. We got up on the mound.
You're such a jerk.
And I plunked her.
On accident?
Yes, it was on accident.
Well, I had to ask the question.
And then I was like,
he didn't like her long hair.
I could see Little League Cam going, get out of my batter's box, hippie. Knocking him and be like, oh my gosh,
she was a really, really good player. And I don't know whatever turned out. I distinctly remember it because I was a big 12-year-old. So I was I plunked her right on the leg and she didn't flinch. Dropped her bat, stared me down, and went right down the first baseline, just staring me down. I went, all right, this is on. So what happens when I come up? She buzzes the tower. They're 12 years. She buzzes the tower on me. She's the pitcher.
Yeah.
She buzzes the tower on me, and I went, okay. You don't think about this when you're 12. You're like, oh, she just didn't control. And then, so I go tough guy on her.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I went, are you going to throw at me like that? I'm not joking. This is how hysterical. I'm 12 years old.
My God.
Yeah, because I just got done watching all the guys throw, like Nolan Ryan and all these guys. We were thinking about this. So she throws me a
meme. You wanted to go Nolan Ryan on her?
No. You wanted to Robin Ventura a girl?
No. So just what happens? Headlocked. She throws me a meatball and I hit it like 280. Walk around and I'm talking the entire time. What you get for buzzing the tower?
Of course you did. You're such a jerk.
Needless to say, the next Annie comes up, she comes up again, I throw her and she just cracks a double off me. So it was one of the funnest. And then at the end of the game, my parents and her parents, we all went over. We said, hey, you're fantastic. And I shook her hand and I said, that was awesome. One of the funnest experiences I had in Little League. And just remembering that and understanding it, she was great. And she was a battler. And I was impressed.
And then on July 7th, 2001, you got married to her, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
No. Is that how you didn't become an arranged marriage at that point?
No.
Oh. Mine's 1994 Little League State Championship. A state championship, man.
That is big time.
Little League State Championship. It was called Midgets back then. I don't know if they probably still don't call that, do they?
Really?
Yeah.
It's called that?
It's called Midgets. Because you were little guys.
We just had rookies, minors, majors.
Yeah.
It was pretty simple.
We had midgets and juniors and senior.
Everybody's got different kind of classifications, but yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they just call it like little people now. What about you, Buck? Best baseball memory?
When I was 9 years old, I had a walk-off to win the Tassajara Valley tournament. That was good. And when I was 17, I threw a no-hitter.
Wow. Look at that. High school Buck throwing no-hitters.
And actually, maybe more impressive than either one.
How many walks did you have? I didn't say perfect game.
Oh, no, it was not. I actually gave up 2 runs. I walked 5, I hit 2, and I had 4 errors behind me.
Hey, doesn't matter. Did you get the win?
Yes, I did.
That doesn't matter.
We won 5-2.
Doesn't matter.
Actually, the coach threatened to pull me after the 4th because it was like a 3-2 ball game.
Yeah.
And I wasn't holding guys on effectively enough. I'm like, well, tell the defense to make some plays.
You guys remember the controversy was the kid that threw like 200 pitches in a game and the coach got just destroyed because the threw 200 pitches. Kid's never going to play college. He's like, I was worried about his arm, the destruction of his arm. Kid wanted a pitch.
The thing I'm probably proud of most, though, hitting a home run to right field at AT&T Park.
Oh.
Over the brick.
Are you a lefty or did you oppo?
I'm a lefty.
Okay, I was right.
Did you hit it to the cove?
Pulling is not as
impressive.
I did
not make it to the cove. I just put it up on the arcade.
Was.
If you would have went oppo, then I would have been very impressed.
Well, I did not. I'm glad you're not.
Is good.
All right, 55305. The Better You Today text line. Got a lot of questions that have come in here on the Better You Today text line. We'll get to them. Best question this hour gets an I'm a Dustin Cam P1 t-shirt or best caller at 866-358-1080.
Still chicken. I'm telling you, they're chicken.
Yeah. We won't even have Buck do his job. I'll just hit the button, put you on.
I mean, I would guarantee a shirt, but obviously that's not good enough. Well, texts are still flying in.
6:45 on the
Isaac
fan.
And Suk.
All right, Q&A. Let's do this. Best question gets an I'm a Dustin Camp P1 t-shirt. Ooh, this one's from P1 Dustin. What is the most important combine drill for each position on the field? Like, is there any of them that are important? Like, because you got what, the 3-cone drill? They call it the 20-yard shuttle or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
The 40, the vertical, the broad jump, the bench.
Mm-hmm. Individual drills.
And then you're just on field workout.
I think the throwing is the most important for the quarterback.
Okay.
It goes without saying. Shouldn't that be easy? Certainly the 1-on-1 drills for the receivers. The D line would be more of, you want to look at your explosion rate, so it is the change of direction. If you watch some of those D-line drills, they get them down, and they get them in the upstart where they are on their stomach, they're up and go, and they drop, and they want to see their hip movement. Hip movement is, if those of you don't know what flexible hips and hip flexibility and turn and how they can get in and out of stances.
Loose hips.
Well, it's not just loose hips. You look at their ability to change of direction, even at any point. Guys that are stiff coming out of breaks, and they just don't have that's a real grade. And they don't put that grade anywhere, but guys that watch it, it's all about explosion and hip explosion.
I bet you could say that stupid drill that you see where the DB is like backpedaling on a line and you have the coach giving him either direction
left,
with the ball.
Right, left, right. Yep.
Open up your hips, go, turn, then come back and do that. That's probably the most important one of the combine, and it's for the DBs because quarterbacks get justified with all those aren't his receivers.
Yeah.
He's had no timing with them. And same can be said for the wide receivers. And then the one-on-ones are are probably just as important with the linemen and stuff, mm-hmm. but that is a pretty important one because you get to see that hip flexibility and what guys can do. All right, 55305. Cam, if you could relive one of your football moments, what would it be and why? Ralph and Gresham.
Probably my first career touchdown in the NFL. It was pretty cool. It was in an overtime win. It was in Indianapolis. It was week three. Yeah, I still remember. It's fake 15 blunt naked right. And it was right. It was Danny Werfel threw me a quick little. I was on the backside, cut it off, and I run it. They called it a late shoot at the time. Now it's called a wide delay. It really depends on, but you're the backside of a naked route. Naked means that you don't have anybody polling to protect the quarterback. So if you have a blitzer coming from the outside, an outside linebacker or a defensive end, you don't have a guard or anybody over there to protect him. So a bootleg, you usually get somebody out there. So this is different. So I slam release, and we beat Peyton Manning and Marshall Faulk, and it was a game winner. And it was in overtime, and it was awesome. And then that was right during Hurricane George, so we had to stay in Indianapolis for an extra day.
Ugh.
And it was pretty cool.
You wouldn't redo, like, going to Coach Lambright and going, do not kick this field goal. Let's go for it. He's going to miss it.
No, because I can't, I can't control that stuff. I don't want to relive that pain because I can't change the moment.
Well, you could have just convinced your coach to go for it.
Reliving that.
Maybe tell Damon Huard not to throw the flat route in Autzen Stadium in 1994.
Yeah, but I think that's history, though. That's a bad feeling, I had a chance to tell you, I was on the field for that game. That's a cool thing, that even though it didn't turn out great, but you want to call it the pick, or that's what it is. It's memorable. It's one of the most memorable Pac-12 moments in sports history.
Because, okay.
Pac-10, sorry.
What if, in kind of opening that Pandora's box, think of what happened in that game, though. Pat Johnson scores a touchdown, right, for Oregon.
Yeah.
And you guys get the ball back, and your drive—that would have been game-winning drive.
Yeah, it was a game.
A game-winning drive, yeah. And you guys got all the way down to the goal line.
Handed to. I know that. Trust me, it's handed to Richard Thomas and give it to Napoleon Kaufman.
Right.
This is the same thing. And Russell Wilson, why are you throwing on the inside? Why are you throwing an out route or slant route in the Super Bowl? Okay, when everybody knows it's coming, you threw an out route.
And you guys
out of the slot. You got Eric Bjornsson outside. You got Dave Janowski in the inside. Why would you throw an outside route? Because all they do is switch and call, and here it's over.
Now, if you guys score there, do you guys go to the Rose Bowl that year?
No. We're on probation.
Oh, you were on probation.
Doesn't matter. So that's the other thing that no one ever really talks about is we were on a 2-year bowl ban that year. We had already beaten Miami and stopped their 52-game home winning streak. So we weren't going anywhere that year anyway. So I'm not saying it's one of those things. It still hurt. Trust me.
But think about that pick in the trajectory of what it did to the University of Oregon.
Oh, it changed everything.
Because that's what got Phil Knight to go.
Created a whole new rivalry. I couldn't be more excited about it. I'm never bitter about that game.
That's amazing.
I think that if you still use it as part of your motivation, mm-hmm. that's great.
Yeah.
If you want to look at that as the out, when you consider that as the Ducks out, I mean, that's the coming out party. That game.
That was the one that changed the trajectory. Yeah.
That season alone.
You know,
Wilcox and I still talk about. I mean, I still talk about that, him in the Rose Bowl versus Penn State. It's incredible.
Something that a lot of people don't really know about and isn't talked about a lot is like that. If the Ducks don't win that season, like what is Rich Brooks isn't getting the Rams job.
No.
He may be getting fired
right
at the University of Oregon. All right, I love this question because I think we all have it. What was your favorite trading card you ever got in a pack?
Oh, it's my Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
You had an 89. Was it one of the upper deck?
Yeah, I have four of them now, in mint condition. But I still remember getting it. It was at Big Lake Grocery. That's where I grew up, Big Lake, mm-hmm. Washington, but it's Cedar Woolley.
Right.
I went down there, and we would always get into those lines, and we'd try to get through it. Now they do like Darren Revelle? They put it on YouTube, and people watch, and they put it on what's the other live broadcast? You can go Facebook Live. They have
Twitch.
They have reveal parties or opening parties where thousands of people will just watch somebody open trading cards, and they do it across the country.
There's a guy for Yahoo, Mike Oz, who now has this traveling deal where he goes and he meets pro players and he opens up old packs with them and they talk about what they remember about them.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And they have what's called these break parties. I've gone to a couple break parties at one of my favorite trading card places in Vancouver. Where you all get where they break and they open up and you get to have that kind of combination. It's fun.
You remember going and buying Beckett's?
Oh yeah, Beckett's and Bowman.
Yeah,
remember the Bowman are a little bit bigger. They wouldn't fit in your slide ins. So I was mad because the little tips were sticking out.
Seen how much your card was worth. Yeah. One of my favorites that I ever got. I got a Chipper Jones rookie card, Upper Deck, but it was one of the glossy ones with a little shine on it. And the only reason why it was my favorite trading card is because I got it right as during his rookie season. I sent it to him. He signed it and sent a note back in return because old Larry wasn't getting a whole lot of he wasn't getting a lot of fan mail at that point. And I have a signed Chipper Jones rookie card.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. In the plastic in a little frame right there.
For you.
The other one I love.
You pulled that one.
I pulled it. Pulled it out of a pack. The other one that I have, do you remember the Four Sports cards?
No, I don't remember Four Sports.
They were college trading cards. Uh-huh. And I have one card that has Chris Webber, Drew Bledsoe, and Alex Rodriguez on it.
Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Never heard of that before. I was a kid.
It has
like
a fourth. It has a hockey player, but I don't know who the hockey player is. But that guy, whoever that hockey player is, he's on a card with Chris Webber, Alex Rodriguez, and Drew Bledsoe, which is one of my prized possessions.
So in my era, the big card that everybody wanted to get, now those are your card people, it was the Ken Griffey Jr., but this card was one that everybody talked about in my window of time, was the Dale Murphy reverse negative. If you could find it, and those that are card junkies or card snobs that know about this in my era, because I'm 43, but at that time, that card was the highest rated card when I was in my searching. Reverse negative meant the bat was on the wrong side of his picture. The bat, of course, Dale Murphy was a lefty. What did he hit? Was he right? I can't remember. He was lefty because he's from here. Dale Murphy's around here. Isn't he part of MLB? The MLB to PDX.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
His bat was on the wrong side.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at what it should be and what it actually is. And it says Braves is spelled backwards on his jersey.
Correct.
Because when they were developing the picture, they put the slide upside down.
So that card was huge because we'd look in Beckett every day and be, oh, what's it worth? What's it worth? It was so much fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. A lot of really good cards that are coming in on the Better You Today text line. I remember trying to open up packs for the, was it the Michael Jordan 35,000 card?
Oof.
Yeah. Isn't that the one that was silver or platinum or whatever?
I'm not sure.
All right. 55305. Keep getting your texts in. I think we're going to have, what about the Billy Ripken FU?
I don't remember that. Oh, on the bat. Sorry, on the knob of the bat. I remember that.
His baseball card has FU on it.
Yeah.
All right. 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Get your Q&A in, and we will get the best question. Gets an I'm a Dustin Cam P1 t-shirt. 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. hour. We'll do it and give away a t-shirt, one in each hour. We'll tell you who the winner of this hour is next. Coming up next hour as well, James Harden does something that Blazer fans are familiar with. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.